Hey, everybody, welcome. We're so glad that you're joining us today for Echo Church Online. I want to say a warm welcome to those of you who are joining us all over the Bay Area, from Crossroads Church, other churches that are joining us, people spread literally across the country and all over the world. God is using this crisis that we're facing globally to reach and impact many lives. In fact, in the last 2 weeks through Church Online, over 60,000 people have made first-time decisions to follow Jesus. That's through the collection of churches that are using the platform that we're using. And through Echo, over 200 people alone have made the decision to follow Jesus. So God is using you, especially those of you who are spreading the word. You're inviting your friends and family members. In fact, I want to encourage you today to send a text to somebody and invite them to join you to be a part of what God is doing through our church. Now, in the midst of this crisis, we're all at different places. You know, some people, they're doing their job, they're on Zoom calls all day. Maybe some of you, you've lost your job and you're experiencing a tremendous amount of fear, anxiety, maybe even worry about your future. And I wanna let you know that we are here to help. In fact, there is a team that is ready to pray for you. So at any point during the service, you'll find on the Church Online platform, there's a chat feed. There are some people that are dedicated and ready to pray for you. We want to invite you to let us know your needs so that we can actively be praying for you as a church. One other thing I want to make sure you know before I jump into today's message is that next weekend is Easter. Now, this Easter is going to be unlike anything I've ever experienced and anything that we've ever experienced that I can remember in recent church history. All of the services across the country for churches are going to be online, but that presents an amazing opportunity. In fact, we're going to be doing 16 services, and we want to encourage you to begin thinking, number one, about when you'll attend, and number two, to start praying through who are the people that you're going to invite to join you with us next week. Now, today we're continuing our Unlikable Christian message series. This has been a great series for us over the last 4 weeks because we have taken time to encourage you and encourage one another in the midst of the season. How can we respond to crisis and still be a source of life, still be a source of hope, kindness, and generosity to those around us? We looked in the first week about the importance of generosity, and we said that if you could be generous in the midst of crisis, you can take the thing that is working against so many people that we can flip it as an opportunity to spread love. And there have been so many of you that have done that. Second week, we talked about staying calm and how important it is to be peaceful and to not respond with anxiety. When the rest of the world is out of control, because of God, we can still live with self-control. Last week, we looked at this idea of being faithful, and we said there's still a ton of work that needs to be done in the crisis. We can still work hard and be faithful. We looked at the story and the life of Daniel from the Old Testament. It's been a great few weeks for us. Now, today I want to talk about a very important subject, and that's your words. I want to talk about how your words influence people around you. So my message today is all about speaking well. We're all using a lot of words. We're using words with the people that we're interacting with in our home. We're using words online. We're using words in Zoom calls or maybe video chats that you're having. And I've been reminded of this proverb. It's a very powerful passage of scripture or verse of scripture. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." What Solomon is saying is that your words every single day carry the power of both life and death. And eventually, every word that you speak is going to translate to fruit. It's either bringing good fruit or bad fruit. And I want you to be aware of this really key idea that for me has really been sinking in the last couple of weeks, and it's the quality of your words determine the fruitfulness of your life. So if you want in the midst of this season to bear fruit, if you want in the midst of crisis to still be able to have influence and an impact on people around you, you and I, we need to give great attention to our words. And I've been noticing even in my meetings online with coworkers and my interactions with my family, that when you're in the midst of crisis, your words end up carrying way more weight than they do in regular times. And we're under so much stress right now, and we're feeling the pressure. But this becomes really important, that when you are in crisis, your words carry more weight to them. Have you noticed, like maybe even this week, how people are a little bit more stressed out? Perhaps even when we started the crisis, you were more optimistic. When we first got into this thing, you had a greater faith that we'd get out of it quickly. And now the past week, schools are shut down throughout the rest of the school year. The shelter in place is going to be going longer maybe than we expected it. And we're looking, here we are. We don't know how long it's going to be. And I've had so many conversations, even this last week, with pastors and business leaders and people from our church and some of the wisest people that I know, and nobody knows. Nobody knows, is it going to go 2 more months or 3 more months? Nobody knows how many people are going to die, how many people are going to be infected, and that uncertainty causes a tremendous amount of anxiety. And not only does it cause anxiety, but it just causes this outlashing that can very quickly happen in our most important relationships. And oftentimes when we're under pressure, we start to see the things that are already there on the inside. And I want to encourage you with today's message. I want to give you some hope. I want to give you help. And I want to drill down on the importance of our words, especially for those of us who are followers of Jesus. So we're going to look today at a very powerful passage of scripture found in Colossians chapter 4. And my hope is that you would start paying attention more to the words that you're saying. Like, have you noticed everywhere you go, people have these masks and we're covering up, we're trying to be really careful. But what if we gave just as much attention to the things that we're saying, to the things that we're spraying all over the place that we go? And that's the goal for our message today, to give attention to what we're saying, knowing that the quality of your words is determining the fruitfulness of your life. Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing, and I talked about this passage in the first week of the series, and we looked at how Paul in prison found purpose. He found a greater focus for his life. In fact, his prison didn't change the purpose that God had given to him. And in chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." I want us to notice from this passage how Paul talks about both your mind and your heart, how there's a correlation between the two of them. And when you and I come before God to pray and to seek his heart, that God doesn't expect us to disengage mentally. He doesn't expect us to be all emotion, or he doesn't expect us just to be mind. He wants our minds and our hearts to work together. And just like any relationship, God wants to have a relationship with you that engages both your mind and your heart. And then he continues his thoughts. He says, "Pray that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his plan, his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains, and pray that I would proclaim this message as clearly as I should." Now, this passage has been so motivating to me over the last couple weeks and really encouraging my heart. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but for me, the last 3 weeks, I have seen things reading the Bible that I have never seen before. And I have felt closer to the lives of early followers of Jesus than any other time before. And the Bible stories that I'm reading are just coming alive to me as we're in the midst of this crisis, because under pressure, you start to feel and see things differently. And Paul, in this particular passage of scripture, as he's there in prison, is under great pressure, and he is not swayed. He is not moved off of his mission. And how is it that a man who is a human just like you and I, with sins and brokenness, still is able to keep this perspective, still is able to stay focused and not lose his purpose? And I think that God wants to encourage you today that you, like Paul, and you, like Daniel, the story we looked at last week, can still live with that purpose and still have that sense of focus on the words that you're speaking and how they can bless and encourage other people during this time. In chapter 1, these few verses connect to Paul's perspective to understand why Paul in prison hadn't lost purpose. In verse 15, he says this. He's talking about his image of Jesus. He says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all of creation." He's talking about the power and the supremacy of Jesus, that he stands outside of creation and he holds creation together. He says, "For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things that we can see and things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and the unseen world. And everything was created through him and for him. He is God. He was God in human flesh that lived among us. And this verse, I want to encourage you to write this verse down and maybe put it somewhere on a mirror, memorize it, and come back to it, because it says he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. I love seeing a video of one of our worship leaders, little girl, singing the song, "He's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world." I'll stop singing now. But that beautiful image that God still holds the universe in his hands. So Paul's not rocked by this. The same way Jesus wasn't rocked by the storm, Paul had confidence that Jesus had it all in his hands. And for me, I have had on my knees so many times the last couple weeks as I personally have battled with anxiety and worry and uncertainty about the future, just to remind myself, you got it. You, God, have this whole thing under control. Even though it looks like it's out of control, history in God's hands is linear. It's going somewhere. He's doing something. 60,000 lives have made decisions, and that's just one snippet of what God is doing globally. We are on the precipice of a movement over the next 18 to 24 months in our generation that history books will write about, and people in future generations will wish that they had the privilege of being a part of what God is going to do in the coming days. So when we anchor ourselves back in the truth that God is sovereign and he is good and he is kind and he is loving, then we are so much more able, in the midst of our own difficulty, in the midst of our own prison, to be able to press in and still be people of hope and still be people that use words to speak life and goodness and kindness into others. So that's Paul. There he is, prison, saying, "God, give me words. Help me speak clearly. Help me leverage this opportunity to make a difference." And I want to go back and just zero in on a few things that we've already looked at that he said. He said, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." I want us to notice how important prayer is to your life and my life making a difference, and how important prayer is to being able to sustain difficulty. We in our house and as a church, we've just been saying, we set the alarm clock to 7:14 a.m. and p.m. and we've been praying for God to move in our nation and in our world. We've been fasting and praying together on Wednesdays and asking God to change lives and touch people through this crisis. And there really is a significance and an importance that for followers of Jesus, that the first thing that we need to do in the midst of crisis is to pray. It's to ask God. It's to come before him. I was reminded in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 38, that Jesus, he lives to intercede on our behalf. That means that every moment of every day, Jesus is before the throne of the Father praying for you and me. And as we come before him, before his throne, this gracious heavenly Father wants to meet our needs. He wants to use our lives together. And prayer is the cornerstone. Prayer is that anchor in the life of a follower of Jesus. It's the first thing that we should be doing when we wake up in the morning. It's the first part of a life of influence. And I think it's so important to recognize even Paul, one of the most influential people in church history, understood that we should speak to God about people before we speak to people about God. That the first thing that we should do when we pray is to speak to God before we try to go out sharing good news, or before we type it on our computers, that there should be a sense that I am asking God to move over my day and over specific people. And Paul tells them to pray specifically when they do for people, to pray for opportunities. And I wonder even if you would take time this week to pray that God would give you opportunities. I've been seeing pictures of people who are part of our community who are going outside and they're social distancing with their neighbors, but they're having, you know, afternoon parties and getting to know neighbors, and they're encouraging people in their neighborhood and doing sidewalk chalk, encouraging neighbors. I just love seeing how people are stepping into this as an opportunity, that they're not seeing crisis through the lens of everything is falling apart and there's no opportunity to make a difference, but they see the opportunity where others see crisis. Followers of Jesus have the potential to be able to see opportunity, but there's something that happens, like Paul says, when we pray for God's eyes, when we pray for opportunities to see what's around us that already exists, there are more opportunities to make a difference in people's lives right now than there has been any other time I've ever experienced. And I want to call us as a church to asking God to see them, to recognize the opportunity, to be able to meet people's needs with compassion and to cry with people to let them cry on our shoulders virtually in the midst of this, but to let people reach out in the midst of their need and seize the opportunity with love unlike any other time before. And Paul says, pray that I would speak well and that I would be able to have clear words when I do communicate. And I want us to notice that's the next part of prayer. That is asking God for the right words, to pray that God would give you clear words when you communicate so that you can know what to say, know when to say it, and ask God to give you wisdom on this. Even I wonder if you would take the time before some of you post things online that you would pray before you post. Oh, that's good right there. You should tweet that or put it somewhere. Pray before you post, because sometimes we're just posting without even thinking, and the words that are coming out of our mouths, they are speaking death versus giving life. Paul says, pray that I would speak clearly. Pray, devote yourself to prayer, and make that the focal point of your life. The second thing I want us to notice that he says is to live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every single opportunity. He is talking about the fact that your words and your life, they have to match up. So when we speak to other people, they're also going to be looking at our lives to determine whether or not our lives carry the weight that we try to deliver with our words. So the second point is to back up your words with your life. I had this thought this week. I don't know if you've been on any kind of a chat this week online, but sometimes it's easy to forget to turn the chat off. And maybe you've seen some of the videos that are circling online of people who've been on Zoom calls and were going to the bathroom or doing other things and they forgot to turn it off. It's pretty funny to see that. But I started thinking about, like, what if the Zoom call didn't get turned off in my house? And you could see behind the scenes. If you could see every interaction I have with my wife, if you could see how I interact with the kids. The question I wrestled through is, if people could see behind the scenes, would they still want to listen? Would they still want to hear the words that I'm speaking? And the same question should carry some weight for us to really wrestle through and honestly assess, like, if the chat got left on, if the phone or the microphone got left on, would people still want to listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth? There's an importance and a significance that Paul's saying for those who follow Jesus, that they should live wisely among those who are not followers of Jesus, that we should consider our attitude and our actions and the character of our lives, that the character of our lives and the word of our lives, we so deeply should desire that those two align. And when they do, there's such a greater influence that we carry. One of my definitions of success that I have is that those who know me the best would respect me the most. And that only happens through faithfulness and through integrity. And I want to continue to assess even the question I threw out last week, like, am I going to come through this without regret? And the only way is that if the stuff behind the scenes matches what I'm saying outside, it matches what I'm saying on the camera or as I'm posting online. So I want to encourage you to wrestle through that as well. If people could see behind the scenes, would they still want to listen? And finally, I want to finish as Paul says this. He says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. What he's saying is think through your words so that your words make an impact, that when you speak words, they should be seasoned. Another version of the Bible says that they should be seasoned with salt, meaning that when you speak, you should speak in a way that people want to listen. some practical things on this for me that have been helpful is to recognize that questions are better than giving answers. Like maybe you've been around a follower of Jesus and they're like the Bible knowledge guy or the Bible knowledge guy, and they always have an answer to everything. But one of the things I love about Alpha, what we do with our Alpha groups is Alpha is really designed to ask questions. And when you ask somebody a question that gets them to think, that's what Jesus would do. If you notice, you study the Gospels and his life and teachings, so much of what Jesus did was he asked questions. And what if you spent time this week asking questions of the people in your life? How are you doing? How can I pray for you? How are you processing all this? And just those simple questions can begin the process of ministry. It can open doors of opportunity for you to influence people. I find it interesting how many people, they have all the answers. And we know that in this case, very few people, nobody really, I should say, has the answers. So if we could lead with questions in our relationships, we'd gain greater levels of influence. Also, customize is better than generic. Some people, like, they have all the right things to say, but now there's like all those right things that you always say, those cliches, they're gone. And Jesus, again, when he ministered to people, he customized his approach. So he sat down with a woman at the well and had one conversation. He visited a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus at night and had another conversation. He was always interacting with people on a personal level based upon their needs, their doubts, their struggles. And right now, more than any time, everybody is dealing with this in a different way. Some people have jobs and money in the bank, but then they have a parent that is sick, or they have somebody that they know that they're afraid would get sick because of their medical condition. And then other people, maybe they've lost their job, but they're young and they're not really worried about their health. And everybody's at a different place. And there's something so potent about loving people in a customized way that is not just generic cliche, this is the answer. So I want to encourage you, the people in your life, pick 5 friends that you could love this week in a customized way. Get to know their struggle, pray for them, enter into their lives and encourage them through text, through phone calls, through video chats, and to customize your approach. And finally, sentences are better than paragraphs. And I can confess myself that at times I'm long-winded. And I think I've been challenged recently that sometimes all we need is just a sentence of encouragement. You're going to get through this. I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. Sometimes one sentence can carry so much weight. Stacy and I, we have this Thai food place just down the road from us, and we go there for carry out often. And one of the questions they ask is how much spice would you like in your food? And everybody's different. Stacy likes no spice. I like spice. And there's a range of responses. And when Paul says, make your conversation seasoned, make it attractive, he is saying that you should consider the people that you're interacting with. Everybody is at a different place. But right now, more than any time I've ever experienced, people are open to the good news, to the hope that is available that only Jesus can offer. I want to encourage you, your words really do matter. And the words, not only that you are speaking to others matter, the words you are speaking to yourself are so important. Perhaps even right now in the midst of this message, you might drill down on what you've been saying to yourself. I believe that God wants to speak to you today, that there are things that he would say. If he were able to lock eyes with you right now like I am, he would tell you that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he is for you and not against you, that he wants to empower you with his spirit, that he wants to sustain you in the midst of this, that he wants to help you transform and become the kind of person that he's created you to be. And as you receive those words of life over yourself, you can become the kind of person under pressure that points back to God and gives hope to the lives of others. I want to encourage you this week to do that, to send a text, to make a call, to get on a video chat, and to take the step to invite somebody to join you next weekend for one of our 16 Easter experiences. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God would use this week in your life and use this week to make a difference in the lives of so many other people. you can be a part of changing somebody's life for all eternity. And I want to encourage you that one simple text can make all the difference. Now, some of you, you're here today and you just somehow clicked on this. Maybe somebody shared a watch party with you, or you found us online and you're new to this whole thing about God. You're new to this whole idea of Jesus and faith. Or maybe even today you have tremendous doubts, worries, concerns, and you don't even know what you believe. And I want to encourage you that you are never more than one prayer away from turning to God. And I want to lead you in a very simple prayer today that is just two words, and it's this prayer: Jesus, help. I wonder today if you would turn to him to ask him to help you. Did you know that he loves you so much that he died on a cross for your sins? Scripture says that Jesus came from heaven to earth, God in human form, never sinned, never made a mistake, but went to a cross at the hands of Romans, at the hands of Jewish leaders in the first century. But it was all a part of God's plan. It was all a part of God's rescue plan so that humanity could come back to the heart of God. And by faith in Jesus, in his death on a cross for our brokenness, for our sins, and by faith in his resurrection that we will celebrate next weekend on Easter Sunday, you can begin relationship with God right now. So if that's you, I want to encourage you, turn to him right now and pray that simple prayer: Jesus, help. And as you open your heart to him today, God will step in and transform you. In fact, right now on the Church Online platform, there's a button that you can click if you're making that decision to follow Jesus for the very first time. We want to know. We want to help you. We want to put resources in your hands. So go ahead right now, click on that link and let us know that you're making that decision to follow Jesus for the very first time. Now, others of you right now, maybe you want to pray that same prayer. You're a follower of Jesus, but you're going to say, Jesus, help. I need you right now more than any other time of my life. If you're there, will you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we pray together? Jesus, help. In fact, maybe we could say that out loud together at all of our different places that we're spread across the country and the world. Jesus, help. We need you. We need your mercy. We need your grace to sustain us. And we pray that you would be gracious to us in the midst of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we send it to our campus host, I want to encourage you, if you made that decision, you made the most important decision you will ever make. Others of you, in just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to take next steps in response to today's message. And one of the next steps for all of us who are part of Echo Church that we can participate in is our generosity. I've been blown away by your generosity and hearing specific stories of what God is doing through your life in the midst of this crisis. I heard the story of Stacy, who is a part of one of our campuses, not my wife Stacy, but another Stacy. And she had this idea with several of her friends from Berryessa that they could together put resources, they could take money, put resources together to buy face masks for people who are in need. So they partnered together with Echo Church through Echo Compassion, our online platform, and they were able to buy masks for over 6,000 medical professionals, for elderly people in the community, and make a massive difference in 6,000 lives. That's just one person who had faith. I want to encourage you today, if you have never given, and you've never joined us in generosity, you can participate. If you click right now on the link that shows up, echo.church/give, you can join us and you can participate in giving with us. I want to encourage you, if you're giving for the first time, to consider giving through Echo Compassion. All of those resources are going beyond the walls of our church into the community to make a difference in the lives of people who are not yet following Jesus, who need hope, who need faith, who need our love. And also, for those of you who have need, we would love to know. So as we receive our offering, even today, to let us know, go to echocompassion.com, let us know your needs, and we can match you with people who have the resources to be able to help. Others of you who are a part of our church, literally over the last couple of weeks, there have been dozens and dozens of people from our church who have not lost their jobs, who have automated their generosity. And I want to say thank you to you who've done that, because it allows our church, in the midst of a time where other churches are having to step back, we can step forward. We're stepping forward to give money to other churches in our community. We're stepping forward into opportunity to make a difference, and your generosity makes a massive difference. So I want to encourage you in that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for believing God that He is going to use this season more and more in our lives to make a difference. We're praying for you. I'd love to hear from you. Any specific prayer requests that you have, join somebody on that prayer chat and let us know. And God's going to use this season as you take next steps in response to the messages that we're hearing together.